Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to say good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, welcoming you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And I'm excited to be here today. Last week, Brother Jason Cornett filled in for me, and I was making my way back to North Carolina from the state of Oklahoma. I had been out there in a meeting, and I really enjoyed being at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's in a little town called Wapanucka, Oklahoma, and missionary Mark Hodges is the pastor that I was with and his family, and we just had a great time. The Lord met with us. It was they have an anniversary meeting every year in either April or May, and just to mark the anniversary of one more year since the establishing of the church there. And so they invited me out, and I got to go out and had a great time, and I really enjoyed it and had a safe trip, and I'm thankful for that. But you know how the old saying is, it's good to go and it's even better to come home. And so I made it back home late last Tuesday. And so it's good to be here. And Noah's here in the radio studio. And Brother Jason Cornett, he was in town. He stopped in just to sit in and be with us. And so good morning, Brother Jason. And good morning, Noah.
Good morning. It's good to be here. We want to say real fast how much we appreciate our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina. And also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate our listeners. We have a couple of announcements this morning. I'll make one. No, you want to make a announcement over there, and I'll find my other one here.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. We're going to have a singing at
Mount Ephraim.
At Mount Ephraim Baptist Church. It's at 3275 Elk Creek Road. At May 20th, the Sunday night at 7 p.m., Melinda and Corbett Bryan and Greengrass, the Bluegrass Gospel.
All right. And we had that here in the studio this morning and wanted to make that announcement. And also, the Ash County Baptist Camp Meeting is going to begin this Sunday as well, May the 20th. Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Brother Derek Wilson is going to be preaching. And then Sunday night at 6 p.m., Brother Cameron Dula is going to be there. He's going to be preaching. And then I'm going to be there as well. Brother Wynn Greer going to be preaching this coming Sunday night at the Ash County Baptist Camp Meeting. And then Monday through Friday at 7 p.m., Brother Leonard Fletcher is going to be there. There's going to be special singing every night. This is in Ash County, beside the Walmart. There's a field just in the same vicinity there. It used to be, I think it still is, used to be Greenfield. And used to be there was a restaurant there. I don't know if there still is or not. I think there's a campground or something like that. But anyway, it'll be hard to miss. There'll be signs. There'll be a tent there in the field. And so that's going to be May the 20th through the 25th. And we'd like to invite you to come out and be with the Ash County Baptist Camp Meeting. Looking forward to that. Well, we'll get into the broadcast today, and I guess the big news since last week is the passing of the marriage amendment. Now, I had joked and said that if it didn't pass, I wasn't going to come back to North Carolina from Oklahoma, so I'm thankful that it passed for several different reasons, but it passed, and we spent, I think, 6 weeks in a row talking about the marriage amendment and what it meant and everything. And so it passed a majority vote of 61%, and I was very thankful for that. I was disappointed that here in Watauga County, one of the few counties in the state that it did not pass in, I wasn't totally surprised. I knew it'd be close. And so just the way it is here in Watauga County, it did not pass, but it passed by a great majority in the rest of the state. And so I'm very thankful for that. You know, there's 30 states now have similar constitutional protections concerning marriage in their constitution. But from all the news and press that I have seen and tried to keep up with, you'd think that North Carolina was the only state to ever do such a thing. I mean, it's been in the news media, letters to the editor, mainly negative, from what I've noticed, and that's looking in at least two different newspapers. Even people in Hollywood, all they've been talking about it negatively as well. Evidently this has inspired even the vice president and the president to come out of their evolving homosexual marriage closets. You know, both of them said a few years ago that their views upon the subject were evolving, and what they meant was that it wasn't politically the time to come out in favor of. And so now they've come out, they've said they're both all right with same-sex marriage unions. Newsweek this week, I seen yesterday, the cover for Newsweek has a picture of Obama's face, and it has a rainbow-colored halo above his head, and it says the headline is Obama, the first gay president. And so what a brand to have. And so, of course, he's been branded that now, and, of course, he should be, because that's what he's in favor of. So they've come out. The Winston-Salem Journal yesterday had this article about the commencement exercises at UNC, and it says this. It says Bloomberg blasts North Carolina marriage vote. New York mayor addresses crowd of 32,000 at UNC commencement. And in that article, it talks about some of the things he said, you know, to the graduates there at UNC. But something that he said about the marriage vote, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit today. He said, the more light we shed on the nature of the world, the more we advance knowledge in science and technology, the more liberty we will spread, he said. To a roar of approval, Bloomberg also said that voters' landslide approval Tuesday of an amendment to the state constitution that would bar same-sex marriage was on the wrong side of history. He said the referendum showed just how much more work needs to be done to ensure freedom and equality for all people, he said. And so he says there that we are on the wrong side of history, according to him. And I've heard others say that as well. Mr. Obama said something along those lines. And evidently, according to what you hear out there, people in North Carolina, there's been all kinds of slurs and slams against the people in North Carolina that we're backwards and uneducated and ignoramuses and all of these things. Well, I was reading this morning in my Bible, and I found a chapter, Psalms chapter number 52, and to all the haters out there, you know, and all the bad talk against Christians and anybody that voted for marriage, Governor Bev Perdue, she said North Carolina was wrong concerning this, and Mayor Bloomberg and Hillary Clinton and all the high and mighty Hollywood people and all the educators and letter writers and just all of them out there. I wanted to read and dedicate this reading of Psalms chapter number 52 to all those who have come out and talked about how bad people in North Carolina are and how we're on the wrong side of history and all of these things. So I want to read. It's just 9 verses, but it is very up to date. And I'll just read it, and I might make a comment or two as we're reading. But I thought this fit very well. And I would love for Mr. Bloomberg and Obama and Perdue and all of that crowd to somehow know and you know, get in on this, because I dedicate it to them wholly and all of them that have come out and said. But anyway, verse number 1, Psalms chapter number 52 says, "Why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Now that Selah, when you read that in the Bible, that's a musical notation. You know, Psalms are songs. This was the song book of the children of Israel. And so that's like like we would read in our music, a rest note. And when you have a rest, you know, there's extra emphasis added there to stop. And what I've always said, this means stop and think about that. Here's these mighty men. Their tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor. They love evil more than good, lying rather than to speak righteousness. Stop and think about that. That's what that says. And then verse 4 says, Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. That means stop and think about that. God's going to take care of that crowd one of these days. And you can talk about being on the wrong side of history all you want to, but the only way to know what's the right side and the wrong side of history would be you'd have to know the future. Well, nobody knows the future except the Lord. And so I promise you, the people in North Carolina are on the right side of history concerning this, because the Lord has told us beforehand, and he's going to pluck them out of their dwelling place. God's going to take care of this. And then it says Selah. And then verse number 6. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Well, people say, now, preacher, you ought not to say that. Well, that's what the Bible said. And so the righteous are going to see God do this and they're going to laugh about it. And then it said in verse 7, Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. And so we see all the bands of the wicked gathering their hands together against the Lord. And I agree with what Franklin Graham said about Obama shaking their fist in the face of Almighty God. But I'll tell you, they're not on the right side of history concerning this. The righteous will see this and laugh when God does this. And then in verse number 8, he said, But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And so I give all the honor and all the praise and all the glory for this passing in North Carolina to the Lord. He's the one that done it. I was thinking this morning, in spite of all the concentrated effort of those that came out against this marriage amendment and all of their lies and all of their misinformation and all of their organization, do you know there's not one individual, there's not one organization can be pointed to and said they're the ones that got it done. You have little churches, you have God's people all over North Carolina that rose up and done something right. And so I thank the good Lord for this. I thank the Lord for everything that he's done concerning the marriage amendment. And I hope this will be a wake-up call to the people of North Carolina to see that Christians have a lot of work to do, because although it was a majority and some would say a landslide, still, you know, you're 60-40% basically. And so I just wanted to read that and dedicate that this morning to all the lies and all of the high and mighty people out there that think they're smarter than God. And really, that's what our problem is in America, is there's a lot of people thinks that they're smarter than God is. But anyway, I wanted to mention that, but I wanted to go on, and I've been thinking about this the past several days, and that is, how is it that our nation is so divided concerning this and many different things, not just this, but I mean, we're in a place in America where there's so much division, not only in our state, but in the United States of America. I promise you, if you went back 20 years in time or 40 years in time, things, ideas, society was vastly different then than it is today. America is rapidly changing, and it is not changing by accident. What we are witnessing today is the fruit of a movement that began a little over 100 years ago in America. It was brought over from Europe, especially Germany, and it is called the Progressive Movement. And I want to begin to talk today just a little bit about the Progressive Movement. Now, I don't want to put Noah on the spot, but could you find, there's a clip on YouTube, and if you type in Hillary Clinton, a progressive, it'll come up, and there's a little clip there, about 28 seconds, and it's got a CNN background, and you're probably able to do that, but I'm
going to
type in Hillary Clinton, a progressive.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to give him a little on-the-spot job to do here, see if he can bring that up. I'd like for you to hear what she says about being a progressive. But I want to talk just a little bit about what it means to be a progressive. And this will answer the question, why are we so divided in America? What has happened in our country? Why is it that we are so far removed from constitutional principles, from a biblical standard that used to be once upon a time? Do you know, in 1912, Teddy Roosevelt ran against who was then President William Howard Taft. Now, Teddy Roosevelt had already been the president, and William Howard Taft came along behind him and became the president. Well, Roosevelt didn't like how Taft was doing, so he wanted to come back and be the president. Well, he couldn't get the Republican nomination. So what Teddy Roosevelt did at that time, he ran on a third-party ticket trying to run against William Howard Taft and Woodrow Wilson. He ran on a third-party ticket, a new party, and that party was called the Progressive Party. Now, the Progressive Party in America is something that goes back now 100 years ago, even a little more than that. Now, Taft lost to Woodrow Wilson. He lost to Woodrow Wilson because of Teddy Roosevelt. And so this Progressive Party, these progressive ideas, goes back over 100 years. Now, let me see. Noah, do you have that up? Do you think you can play that for us?
Yes, I do.
Before you do that, let me just, I'll just sort of tell what is happening here. This is July 23rd, 2007, the presidential debate. And Hillary Clinton was asked the question how she would define a liberal. Would she describe herself as a liberal? And so, yeah, that's it. Go ahead.
Okay.
I hope that's it.
I prefer the word progressive, which has a real American meaning, going back to the progressive era at the beginning of the 20th century. I consider myself a modern progressive.
All right. So you see there what she said when she was asked how would she define a liberal, was she a liberal? She said, I prefer the word progressive, which has a real American meaning, going back to the progressive era at the beginning of the 20th century. And so that's what she's referring to. Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt, Howard Taft, to the beginning of the 20th century. She said, I consider myself a modern progressive. And so I wanted to share that with you today to show the she's right when she says that it does have an American meaning, and it goes back to the progressive. But what does it mean to be a progressive? She doesn't go on to explain what she means to say that she considers herself a modern progressive. Now, if you study about this, and I just want you to get that word in your mind, progressive. So when you see this or hear this, you're going to have a definition to go along with what it means to be a progressive. Now, Rick Santorum, he was running for president. Of course, he's dropped out of the race. But when he got into politics years ago, he described himself as a progressive conservative. So Hillary Clinton, she says, I'm a modern progressive. Rick Santorum, a lot of people, a lot of Christian people, they're like, well, we need to vote for Rick Santorum. But he described himself as a progressive conservative. So he's not a liberal, but he's a conservative, but both of them are progressives. Mitt Flip-Flop Romney, I think that's a good name for him. I tell you, he's hard to pin down on anything. But if you study about Mitt Romney, you're going to find also that he has described himself as being a progressive. Mr. Obama, there's a magazine, in fact, called The Progressive. And, of course, they are pro-progressive. And so there's a magazine article in January of 2009 in the magazine The Progressive. And they were talking about whether Obama was left, center, you know, where he was going to be as far as being a president. And in that article, of course, it was saying that he was a progressive, and it quoted Mr. Obama where he said, I'm somebody who is no doubt progressive. Governor Bev Perdue in North Carolina. This was in today's newspaper, May the 15th, 2012. You know, she said that North Carolina now looked like Mississippi, and she meant that as a slur, a slam. Well, the governor of Mississippi, Governor Bryant, of course, he didn't like that, and he said something to her about it, and he said he was going to write a letter. And there's an article in the paper that said, Perdue talks to Mississippi governor, and the spokesman for Bev Perdue said she did not apologize for her remarks. And I'm not going to read all of it, but here's what Miss Perdue said about her remarks. She said, I think it's wrong for North Carolina, clearly and simply. People around the country are watching us, and they're really confused to have been such a progressive, forward-thinking, economically driven state that invested in education and that stood up for the civil rights of people, including the civil rights marches back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, Perdue said. Folks are saying, what in the world is going on in North Carolina? We look like Mississippi. But do you notice there that she said to have been such a progressive state? And so North Carolina is known, as at least from her standpoint, as being progressive. So, and it, once you start noticing this, you're going to notice a lot of talk about progressive, the progressive movement, and what that means. And so I wanted to start talking about that today and try to point out. Now, to give a definition to what the progressive movement is, or what it is trying to accomplish or has been trying to accomplish for the last 100+ years, to be progressive is the belief that America needs to move beyond or progress beyond the principles of the American founding. In other words, what they believe is, okay, and this is why they can talk about the Constitution, they talk about liberty, they talk about other things, and then I talk about liberty, I talk about the Constitution, and so there's a difference here. Because we would all talk about liberty as a great thing. We'd all talk about the Constitution as being a great thing. But what Obama and Bloomberg and Bev Perdue and all of this crowd, their view of the Constitution being progressives is that, you know, that was all right for them. That was all right to... I was about to sneeze. But they'd say, you know, that's all right for them. But we need to move beyond that. We're living in different times, different days. We need to go on to something else, like Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She said, if I was looking at a constitution to rewrite, she said, I would not look at the Constitution of the United States of America. She said, I would look at maybe South Africa. Now, I have at least one friend from South Africa, and he didn't come to America because South Africa had a great constitution. I promise you that. But see, these progressives, they'll talk in flowery words about the Constitution as long as you keep it way back there. But they say, now we need to move on to something else. We need to change. hope and change and fundamentally change America. That's what Mr. Obama talked about when he was elected the first time. Now, the difference is, where I come from, I believe if the Constitution was good then, it's good today. And our problems are not that we are needing to move beyond the Constitution, but our problems are that we need to get back to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, that those inalienable rights that come from our Creator, they are still good for today. So you have the progressives. We need to change. We need to do away with the Constitution. Then we have the constitutionalists that say, no, we just need to get back to the Constitution. That is the main difference between these two groups. In the 1960s, George Wallace ran as a third-party candidate in America for the presidency of the United States, and he said this. He said there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. Now, whether or not you agree with Mr. Wallace or not, that's neither here nor there. He was right when he said there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. You've got, and it's the same way today, you've got Hillary Clinton, you've got Obama, they're liberal progressives. You've got Santorum, you've got Romney, they're so-called conservative progressives. But the problem is, all of them really don't give a hoot about the Constitution and how what made America great. They're all for changing, doing something else. Whether you're conservative or liberal, that really is neither here nor there. And until we see that, as a country, we're never going to have anything other than what we have now, sort of a political ping pong game, back and forth, that is just running our nation right into the ground. So, Lord willing, next week I'm going to be talking about this thing about the progressives. And I would say it like this. I would say when you hear the word progressive, when they talk about being progressive, I would give a biblical definition for that. There was a segment in Isaiah's day of the children of Israel that would consider themselves progressives. You know, the Lord's way, the law, that's outdated. We need something else. Well, God had a word for them. And when I think about the progressives, this is what I think about. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." That's where we are today. We are living in a society that calls good evil and evil good. He said that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. That word woe, that's pronouncing a judgment upon. Verse number 21, it said, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." That's where we are in America today. That's where we are with our leaders. They think that they are smarter than God. They're wise in their own eyes. Verse 22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink," that are a bunch of drunks is basically what that's talking about, which a lot of your deals in America are done under the influence of alcohol and parties and all kinds of stuff like that. Verse 23, "which justify the wicked for reward." Why in the world would the president come out for homosexual marriage? Because he raised, what, $9 million or some untold amount like that in 24 hours? They would do it for votes. "And take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." That's what a progressive is. Write that down. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20 through 24. In fact, when I think the word progressive, that's actually regressive. We're not going forward, we're going backwards. And that's what's one of the things that's hurting us in our nation. Well, our time is quickly gone. Noah's going to give the contact information. We thank you for listening.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.